2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. And actually, I think I'm going to go further to verse 15. That's what the bulletin says. I had written 8 through 13 down. So it pays to read the bulletin every now and then, doesn't it? Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Faithful. A word, a concept, a promise. A promise or a concept behind or undergirding this word faithful is typically carried out with great hope, is it not? When someone pledges to be faithful to something or to someone, we have great hope that that will take place. And the word faithful and that whole idea of being faithful also carries with it promise. Promise for growth. Promise for a deeper and more meaningful life. The word faithful probably is used most regularly as part of traditional, well, not even just traditional, but most marriage vows, is it not? There's a promise to be faithful till death parts us. Oftentimes, it's part of political rhetoric where people promise to be faithful to a cause or to a platform. And hopefully they're not Pinocchio. It's part, being faithful is also foundational to both Jewish and Christian understandings of God, is it not? We expect God to be faithful, and the Bible tells us that God is faithful. And we are taught that God is faithful. Being faithful is also promised by persons when they join a church as well. We promise to be faithful members, faithful participants together. But unfortunately, we do not have to look very hard or think very long to find out how often most of these promises to be faithful fall. Do they not? In fact, the only one that seems to be totally and forever inviolable is the description and the promise of God to be faithful to his covenant. To be faithful to his promises. The interesting thing, though, is that faithfulness to his covenant and his promises, that faithfulness is not just about rewards. Sometimes God's faithfulness to his covenant and his promises allow us to suffer when we break that covenant. For that is who he is, a just and faithful God to all of his covenant. But many people count on God's faithfulness, especially in spite of whether they uphold their promise to be faithful to God or not. And oftentimes, the way we count on that faithfulness, we do something that we know is wrong, it breaks the covenant, and we rush to prayer and we say, God, I won't do that again. I'm so sorry. Just don't let me get punished for it. Don't let me get caught. Don't let this happen. only oftentimes in another week or two, or maybe even not that long, we go back to God. I know, God, I said I wasn't going to do that. But what I want us to do today is to think about faithfulness and God's faithfulness and the appropriate response that we are to have to that faithfulness of God. In spite of how many times we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. And in doing so, in looking at that, perhaps we will find a renewed sense of commitment, which may become even contagious to other people. Others who seem to have forgotten that God's faithfulness does not come without an expectation. An expectation that we who are committed to Him will be faithful as well. And by the way, these things are not unique to our times. They've been found throughout time, and they were very much a problem or an issue in Paul's day as well. As he deals with the church, as he deals with Timothy, Paul has strongly urged the people to come back to doing the work of being Christian. Just before this, he has reminded them of the difficulties that he has faced. Not always faithfully, but always coming back to seeking to be faithful in what he is to do. But he reminds them of the difficulties he's faced in being Christian, the difficulties he faces in seeking to preach the gospel. And then he moves in our passage and beyond to call not just Timothy. I know a lot of preachers say, oh, this is a call for preachers. Well, that's a call for all of us. Not just Timothy as a minister, but all Christians to remember and to reflect upon God's faithfulness to us. God's faithfulness found in Jesus Christ. And that faithfulness in Jesus is to be foundational in helping us to remain faithful to the promises that we make when we accept God's grace. Now, the writer, instead of trying to make people feel badly about what they have done or not done, begins this section with a theological basis. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is the gospel. The reason for our faithfulness and our commitment begins in God's faithfulness in Jesus. In God coming in Jesus. In God giving Himself in Jesus for you and for me. As Morgan Noyes notes, and I quote, "The reader here is reminded of two aspects of the life of Jesus. The earthly life, as He is descended from David, and the eternal life, as He is risen from the dead. In our own time, as in early Christianity, there is a tendency in some quarters to forget the historic Jesus and to neglect the ethical principles which His life and ministry revealed. But also others think of Jesus only as a good man to the neglect of His revelation of the eternal love of God which reaches to us even when we do not deserve it. The whole gospel includes both of these truths." End of quote. And this reminds us then of God's faithfulness. God had promised long before that there would be Messiah to come, to bring about that kingdom of God and to offer redemption for His people. Think for a few moments. All of the times that those hopes seem to have been dashed, and the Israelites questioned God's faithfulness, especially through the agonizing times of exile. Israel, the northern half of the kingdom under Assyria. Judah, the southern half of the kingdom under Babylon. And then here come the Persians. And then the Romans. Well, excuse me, the Greeks and then the Romans. all of those times. And they waited and they wondered about God's faithfulness. And yet we find in Jesus the ultimate faithfulness of God in keeping that promise, that covenant. And Paul then states that it is the faithfulness to the gospel which has not only caused him to be imprisoned and to suffer, but it's the faithfulness to the gospel that undergirds and bolsters his faith in God. Not only were there physical fetters or chains, but there were also attempts through those chains and other means to chain up his preaching, to dash his emotions, to chain his spirit. Makes me wonder oftentimes, how often are people who claim to be Christian chained up to the point of silence because of emotional threats, the threats of ridicule, questions, or being seen as odd ducks. And yet, in the midst of that, Paul relied on God's faithfulness and the call to be faithful to God, and that God would be there with him no matter what if he remained faithful, if he responded in that way. As another reminder of God's faithful nature, Paul states that while he may be chained and while some attempts are made to chain up his preaching, the Word of God is never chained up. It is not fettered. It can never be overcome by human powers as long as people are faithful to God. The Word of God is not fettered or chained, the end of verse 9. You might think, well, but look at all the attempts to stifle it. Stalin and Lenin and others thought they had squashed it. And guess what? The church in Russia is thriving. Mao Zedong and others thought they had squashed it. And yet one of the fastest growing areas in the world for Christianity is in China. Other regimes and other places have sought to squash, to chain up, to fetter, to completely eliminate that Word of God. And yet it continues to grow and to change hearts and minds and lives. Human power cannot overcome the Word of God. And the work of God in and through the church will not be overcome if we respond in faithfulness. Because you see, God entrusts you and me as partners in the sharing of that gospel. Paul saw endurance as an outcome of hard work for the gospel. Endurance that he said hopefully will lead to others obtaining salvation. Once again, God puts it in your hands, in my hands, in the hands of all who claim to be Christian to reconcile the world through the sharing of the good news. By the ways we live and the things that we say. But only if we are faithful and faith-filled in enduring can our redemption help to redeem others. If we do not respond in faithfulness, the gospel suffers. And we cannot be what God wants. And we certainly are not what God expects. By the way, endurance, not only in Judaism, but in Hellenistic culture, endurance was the highest of virtues. Stoic philosophers spoke of endurance as being the greatest of the virtues. Being able to endure. And while endurance often means the ability to bear pain and adversity, it also meant to continue to stick to an assigned task. We think of endurance most often in relation to pain and suffering, do we not? Well, I endured that. Oh, I sure endured this. I even joke around sometimes. My bride has sometimes over the years said, you know, you need to, why don't you think about coloring your hair? And my response has been no. Some folks worked awfully hard to put the gray there, and I endured a lot for it to get there, so I'm not going to. And so we think of endurance most often as suffering through things. But endurance, at a more basic and important level, is not suffering through pain, but rather endurance is sticking to an assigned task to see it through. And that's the task that you and I have been given, to endure to the end, or should I say, to persevere to the end. And we can do this as we remember that God has acted faithfully in the past and continues to do so. This glory of such a life means a life no longer subject to sin and death, frustration and loss. But as Fred Geely says, it means a life that is permanent and unhindered in its participation in the rich, warm, secure life of God. That's the life to which we have been called to be faithful and to faithfully live. At this point, the author quotes from a liturgical hymn, a solemn confession. The saying is sure. Actually, the word means faithful. You can count on it. The saying is faithful. Or you can count on the saying that if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will reign with Him. That's glorious, is it not? Ah, but that's not all. But if we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. It reiterates the faithfulness from God, and may probably have come from a baptismal liturgy with the dying and living motif. But we are reminded of our expected response to endure and to not deny, but to be faithful, to persevere. For only when we persevere will we truly be a part of the glorious kingdom of God for the saints. And yet we have that difficult statement, if we deny or prove disloyal. That's what it means. Not just to go out and say, well, I deny God, but to be disloyal. Then there is a difficulty. He will deny us. That's a difficult statement, is it not? But it reminds us that Jesus says in Matthew that those who confess Him, He will confess before God, and those who deny Him, He will deny. Hewlett Glore writes, the faithfulness of God will not be thwarted by our faithlessness. And the good news is not based on who we are, but on who God is. For some, Him being faithful means He is faithful to His justice. But He is also faithful to show mercy when we respond. Faithfulness. We are to be warned and reminded, and to warn and remind others that God calls us to do more than simply say, I believe, I got baptized, and now I can go on about my life. We are called to be careful about fighting over meaningless words, but more importantly, we are called to exert ourselves as much as we can in learning, in sharing, in being competent workers and competent believers as we learn and know how to handle the truth. We quote this verse all the time. Do your best to show yourselves workers, good stewards of the word, right? Rightly handling or rightly dividing, some translations say. And the word actually does come from cutting a straight line that can be followed. part of our responsibility is to exert ourselves as much as we can to demonstrate that we are competent workers, learning and knowing how to handle the word of truth properly so that we might truly live it and tell others of God's faithfulness. To do our best means to be zealous. Zealous in study, zealous in living, zealous in worship, zealous in personal testimony. And we can only do this if we remember God's faithfulness and respond as faithful and faith-filled Christians. Individually and together. For you see, not only are we not alone because God is with us, and God is faithful, but we are not alone because God faithfully gives you to me, and me to you, and you to each other, and on and on. So, bless you. We count on God's faithfulness. The real question that comes to me is, how faithful is my response? May we pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the many ways that you bless us, and that even when we are unfaithful, you are standing ready to be merciful if we will but come back and commit ourselves anew. Help us, not just every now and then, but each day, to respond faithfully for the good of your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of invitation, is 596, "I Surrender All." Surrendering all means to be faithful, not just when we're at a crusade or when we feel like things have really been down, but to surrender each day, to give faithfully of ourselves. Number 596, "I Surrender All."